Now, don't go away, because next on CBS Radio's Comedy Time are those two zany characters of many characters, Bob and Ray. And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Thank you, Whistlers, the Whistling Teamsters.
Did you all get busy and send us a postcard over the weekend for your picture of Smelly Dave, the great dead whale?
Well, if you didn't, you'd better do it, because the demand is sensational. Everyone wants a picture of Dave.
Hasn't it been heartening to come in and see the mountains of mail in the office this morning?
To think that so many people are interested in Dave is heartwarming, Bob, and I think it's a tribute to the way we feel about things generally. I mean, we've got a very, very soft spot right here.
Yes, and we will have enough of these pictures if you get a request in right away. Bob and Ray, CBS 485 Madison Avenue, New York.
And before the ink is even dry on your request, you'll have a picture of Dave in your mailbox.
To help you help us find him. There's no new word on where he may be or from anyone who has sighted him, but I think...
All right, now it's a call!
There's the honorary midget getting the audience.
Starting to hype now, you big fellas.
Seated according to size. Perhaps you can hear him there in the rear.
Anyone makes you think you're tall?
Well, I am.
Don't get into any argument.
You're not tall enough. You're not friendly there. Go.
Remember, politeness counts.
Give it a drink, Bob.
Okay.
I'd like this audience lined up.
I think they're pretty well in their positions now.
So insulted in my life, come to a show and have a person like that talk to you.
Well,
like
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's just for so everyone can see better.
Oh, come, it's going to be all right. Just sit there.
That's your sister? Uh-huh. Nice to have all of you people here today, and I suppose
there's
you'd like to see a little entertainment
school.
Now that you can.
School teachers.
Oh, good. Yeah. On your vacation, huh?
Yeah.
School opens soon for you?
Yeah, it opens in
couple
September.
Of weeks. Yeah. What do you teach, ma'am?
Arithmetic.
What grade?
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade, arithmetic. That's about as far as I took arithmetic, I think.
Well, right after that, you start your fractions.
Mm-hmm. Well, nice to have you with us.
Denominators, numerators.
Both you and your sister.
Don't make any trouble.
She's right, not you... making any trouble. She isn't saying a word.
Well, I'm afraid she'll get into trouble. We don't want any trouble while we're in New York.
And you won't be in any trouble.
I'm so
here.
Afraid. She has one little before dinner,
oh,
honestly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, I'm not getting into any trouble.
She's not. Are you twins?
Well, look, well, I'm a little older. No, I'm a year older, but we do look quite a bit alike.
Yes, you do.
Why don't they dry up, Bob?
I wish they would.
Suddenly
the rest of the audience is getting uneasy.
The entire program, my word. Don't forget, though, the picture of Dave. Send for it to CBS here at 485 Madison Avenue. Bob and Ray, that is, and we'll get it right back to you. And here on today's show, we had planned to present the first episode of the Traveling Bedloes.
Well, this is radio's first three-minute situation comedy, but we thought it would be nice if we told you a little bit about the show first.
And we thought, too, it would be a good thing if you could meet the members of the cast assembled here on stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, the show. The Traveling Bedloes live in a trailer, or a mobile home, if you will.
And they'll be the family next door. Of course, as is the case with most families who live in trailers, the families next door will be an ever-changing parade of mirth-provoking ordinary people.
Even as you and I.
Right.
And so much for the show. Now the cast. First, there's Henry Bedloe. He's the husband of Norma Bedloe, father of Sandra Bedloe, troublesome teenager, Ralph Bedloe, a teenager who's quite troublesome, and finally, six-year-old Jill Bedloe, mm-hmm. who has a problem growing up. First, let's say hello to all the people we've mentioned thus far.
And here's the man we've selected to play Henry Bedloe in real life, the great actor Parker Donovan. Well, hi, Park. And are you looking forward to doing the show?
Sure. Gives me a chance to grow. An artist can stagnate doing plays on Broadway. That's why I'm happy this thing came along.
For you folks out there, Parker is using his own voice now. but it will be different on the show. Yeah. Can you give us a sample part, something from the first script?
Sure. Hey, Norma, slow down when you go over the bumps. I've got egg on my face again.
Great. And they have a sample of the voice Parker Donovan will be using when he essays the role of Henry Bedloe. And also a sample of the humor you can expect,
yeah,
too.
Now it's time to say hello to real-life actress Lucille Amy Packard, who will play the part of Norma Bedloe, Henry's wife and mother of Sandra, Ralph, and Jill Bedloe. Hi, Lucille.
Thank you. Hello, Bob. Say, this role is a wonderful deal for me. Yeah. I know my agent gave you a difficult time, but what with all the wonderful offers I got, breaking all at once, you can understand my agent wanting the best deal for
me.
Yeah,
well, he mentioned the fact that you were a mediocre actress and said he sincerely hoped that things would work out.
He's a wonderful man, wonderful.
Lucille, would you preview your Norma Bedloe voice, the one that you'll be using on our new show, The Traveling Bedloes?
All right. This is the voice I plan to use on The Traveling Bedloes. I'll read part of the first script.
Okay,
all right?
Good. Sure.
Ralph, as soon as we come to the first stop signal, I'm going to have your father give you a lecture about hanging around the house in the afternoon.
You know, it's amazing what you can do, Lucille, when you really put your mind to it. You're a real pro.
And now, how about the kids?
Okay, well, there's Elihu Rancid, who plays the part of teenaged Ralph Bedloe. Come on up here, Elihu.
Say, this is the voice I'm going to use on the show.
Uh-huh.
So, can I scram now? I got to pick up my dog. He flunked out of obedience school, and the headmaster can't get him to leave the place.
Sure. And that also is kind of sick, I'm afraid. So, you can see how funny he'll be with the qualified help.
And then we have Myrna Sandifer, who plays the part of 6-year-old Jill Bedloe.
Hello, Myrna Sandifer. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Mr. Grovel.
No, his name is Goulding and mine is Elliot.
Say, do you know what the midget shouted when he was being eaten by the big bad giant?
No, what did the midget shout, Myrna?
Look at me. I got a view from the bridge. Of course, that's including that, well, the giant has to have false teeth.
Uh-huh.
But my mother, Mrs. Sandler, said I should say it anyway because I would be well-liked immediately.
Well, I can see you have no trouble with a little trooper like you, Myrna.
I get cranky in front of...
crowds?
No, I get cranky in front of the thing in front of your face.
The microphone.
That's right. I get cranky in front of...
Well, we'll slap your hand if that happens, Myrna. We're not worried about you, certainly.
Well, I am. Goodbye.
And Bob, who's left to introduce? I think we went too far with it.
I don't know if we have enough time, but we're going to get introduced Sandra Bedloe, the other troublesome teenager.
Oh, well.
And then there's Frank, the handyman, who
cut
us around inside the trailer, and there's Cora, the Bedloe's maid.
And don't forget Eddie Balfour, Norma Bedloe's worthless brother.
Yeah.
And Dad Bedloe, the philosophical father of Henry Bedloe.
And Aunt Hattie, the troublemaker.
Oh, Bob. That's about all the time we have now, really.
Yes,
suppose we let our audience meet the balance of the Traveling Bedloe's cast on one of our subsequent shows. Meanwhile, I think this is a good start. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Hope you enjoy it.
Beautiful, the bridge.
Say, according to the audience cards, I see we have with us here today a young man by the name of Chick Smithers. Where are you, Chick? From Los Angeles?
Yeah, right here.
That's a handsome jacket you have there. Scarlet velvet, letters that spell out, let's see, the Gear Cluster Busters of Greater L.A., is that right?
Yeah.
It says on the card here that you're the president of the club, a hot rod organization, I suppose. Would you care to tell us something about your group, Chick? Guess you you must build your own rigs, that kind of thing.
That's right.
Guess you jazz up your buggies with finely honed cams, high-powered fuel injection engines, and those thundering quadruple pipes, all chrome players.
That's us, the Cluster Busters of Greater Los Angeles.
And then on weekends, you and the gang head for the freeways and play a little no-hands chicken. or go blasting down back streets in the drag racing.
Oh, now wait, don't put me on like that, man. You're making us out like speed-crazed youth seeking thrills where they oughtn't to be sought and like that.
Well...
See, we keep our boats up on blocks and just look at them. After we put all that bread in them, you know, like money, we didn't have anything left to buy gas with. Besides, the way those squares drive out there in the highway, they might dent a fender or something, and then we'd just naturally have to beat up on them a little.
Well, then you'd advocate more cars, or more care, I should say, from the driving public. More motoring manners,
is
that what you say?
That's roughly our position in this matter, Dad.
Well, you'd also go along with the oft-repeated slogan, when out driving, to take care and get there. Right?
That's the major tenet in our advocacy, and like that.
My word.
Forgot to say, my rig don't have no floor in it, either.
Well, I hope you get it fixed up real soon, Chick, and thanks for dropping by with that timely message of highway safety.
Everybody off the roads. Everybody.
Good advice, indeed.
Thank you, Mr. Music. And that, of course, serves to introduce our farm and agriculture expert, Dean Archer Armstead of the Lackawanna, New York Field Station.
Key to my hen house here, Bob.
Well, that's very timely, the key to your hen house, because I understand today you're going to answer some of the foul questions that have been written to you.
Did you think of that yourself, Bob?
No, but you said the subject would be foul.
Well, I thought well, that's pretty funny, Bob. To be serious, Bob.
Yeah.
I have brought along with me Robin Pickett. Remember Robin?
Yes.
Come on up, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
We've been working up at the... Speak right up, Robin.
What's that?
I said, speak right up.
I said, hello there, Bob and Ray.
Well, I didn't hear you.
Hello there, Bob and Ray.
Well, Robin, as you know, has been specializing on foul questions.
So you got a little kick out of that, didn't you?
Oh, that's a funny one.
Yeah.
And Robin is here to answer some questions that we've been discussing at the field station. One thing you want to know, we have a record, too. Robin, maybe you could explain to Barbara Ray and the listeners just what that record about the chicken visit is.
Well, I don't know much about it, Dean, except that it's a chicken swallowing its feed.
Robin, too glib. Of course, that's about what it is. It's, but we have a record of the gizzard working on the feed. And,
an actual record of the chicken gizzard? Is that what you...
You ought to hear this in stereo.
Well, it's in stereo.
Yeah, but you'll only hear it more orally, of course.
Uh-huh.
But we have it in stereo record.
If I listen with both ears, I could hear it in stereo. Right?
Well, Bob, you're full of them today.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, would you play that record, please?
All right, Dean.
See it?
Yeah.
That's the gizzard. Now, that hum, of course, is electrical. All right, that's it. That's
it. That certainly is amazing.
We're working 12 years on that.
Well, what else is new at the field station? Anything in particular?
Not too much, Bob. I thought if you have some questions here, maybe I could answer them.
Well, there aren't too many here. The usual questions that crop up come the middle of August concerning how they can get their lawns ready for the fall and the winter ahead.
Well,
is it too early to start in there?
Well, no, it is, yes. I'm waiting until the 1st of September to top dress their lawn. Scratch it on seed, put a little fertilizer on it, lime if the soil is acid, and...
And, of course, it's always time to keep that compost heap working. What would you say? Well, thank you both, you and Robin I. Pickett.
Robin, you've been a great help. You didn't say yes, I, or no during the whole show.
Dropping by today.
Right, you're 400 miles down here. And
until next time, when Dean Archer Armstead will be our guest, he says...
So long until the bubble.
Now then, do we have enough time?
No, I don't think we do. We'll have to hold him over at the Bob and Ray Hotel until tomorrow.
We're speaking of the great tightrope walker, the renowned...
Sorry, Miguel, about that.
Senor Honduras, but he'll be here tomorrow. Gee, we're awfully sorry, senor, but we just ran out of time. The good dean took so much. Incidentally, Dean Archer Onstad, we have a card sent to you congratulating you on your third anniversary of your doctorate. And we have it over in the office.
Hey, look, wonderful.
You can pick it up, or we'll bring it over to you.
Well, I guess that would do it, wouldn't it, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
This is the CBS Radio Network. Radio Network.